All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Separation Nation. Listen, we're so glad you've joined us again today for the podcast. And as we promised, we've told you that we're going to be having more and more guests on. And today, I'm super excited to have Dave Kaufman, my brother, my Ziegler brother, on here with us. And Dave's involved in so much on the business development, personal development side, coaching, training. He's an author. He's one of only 10, as far as I know, I believe I got that number right, 10 master level DISC certified trainers in the world, right?
That's right.
And so that's huge. For those of you that don't know what I'm even talking about when I say DISC training, we're going to get into a little bit of that later on. But I'll kind of start with I met Dave in 2014 in Dallas, Texas, out at Ziegler headquarters. And he and I both went through Ziegler certification with Tom Ziegler. Of course, those of you that are familiar, especially if you're listening to the podcast involved in the sales industry, Zig Ziegler, which is a legendary name in that industry. And so he and I both went through certification there together to become certified to basically represent the family brand and name, speak, write, and to just carry the torch on the legacy that Zig Ziegler created and launched. And so he and I first met then, and certain people, you know, you just connect with in life. And out of that class, there's probably, I can count on one hand, the folks that I still kind of stay in contact with and kind of like spirit, like mind to a certain extent. And so, anyway, Dave and I met there for a number of years. Dave had a very successful radio show there in the Sarasota area. He's from Sarasota, Florida. And so I've been down and been on his show. And so now I'm getting to return the favor and have him on our podcast today. And so we're super excited to have you on, man. Thank you for coming. And what we're probably going to do here is just kind of Dave's got a great story, as so many people do. And we'll kind of get into some more specifics. And I got quite a few questions we want to ask, but you know, Dave, tell us, you're originally a Georgia boy. Maybe that's one reason we connected.
Yeah. So it's great to be back in my home state. Wow. I was just at my mom's house up at about 2 hours north of here, and worked out perfectly. Come on to the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're glad to have you, but tell us a little bit, kind of give us in a glimpse before we get to some of the other stuff, kind of what has helped made Dave Kaufman and your upbringing and how you came up, and give us a little bit of backstory on you.
Yeah, so I grew up in on a large farm in the middle of Georgia, about 2 hours north of here. Grew up in the Mennonite faith. Mm-hmm. And so basically Amish. We were Amish, but we had cars and tractors and everything. I could show you a picture of me when I was a kid, and you'd say, oh, you're Amish.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that type of an upbringing because, as you know, Mennonites and Amish are all known for like the work ethic and quality and everything like that. And so while I'm not on the farm, it took me about 21 years to decide that I didn't want to be a farmer. At 13 years old, I told my dad, I remember it just as clear as crystal. I said, Dad, I feel like there's a calling on my life. And he said, what do you think? What do you feel? I said, I don't know what it is. Is it a preacher to be a preacher? And I was like, I hope it's not a preacher. And he said, tell me what you feel. And this is the only thing that I could say. I said, there's a group of people going this way, and the calling feels like I'm to help them shift. And I said the word shift to go this way. So and fast forward, you know, till now. That is what I'm doing. I'm helping people shift the way they think, shift the way they do things, shift their leadership, their life, and their legacy. And I just created a brand new program called Shift. And it is Shift Your Leadership, Your Life, and Your Legacy. It's a 5-week course. So I had to think about that time way back in Georgia, 13 years old, the word shift. And so that I've dedicated my whole life to the idea of helping people get to where they want to go. And in order to do that, you have to change. I mean, you guys know very well that in order to do something, in order to have something differently, you have to do something differently. And before you have to do something, you have to think differently. You have to shift. Yeah. And so that's what I do. I help people shift in their business and also in their relationships with the DISC model of human behavior.
Absolutely. And now, and before we get to discs, let me just mention this too, because one thing with us, we're not going to have on the podcast, and you know, you've heard, if you've listened to the podcast any amount of time, you've heard John and I talk about it. We're not going to have people on that, which is so, become so popular nowadays, is have folks on that just went and took a course to try to get certified in something, have never built anything.
Right.
They're not business owners. They're basically just trying to work social media, Instagram, you know, in front of a rented Lamborghini somewhere and make themselves right. look like something, which, you know, David, in our yeah. space is riddled with that.
It
and
is.
One reason, even a number of years ago, I stepped back from speaking as much. Matter of fact, tomorrow morning's my first any kind of major speaking gig I've done in years,
that
just because I've focused on my business for so long. But I'll be leaving, going to down to Florida to do that tonight, get a hotel room there. But, you know, one thing with Dave Kaufman, that's what I want everybody to know is, I mean, he's the real deal. He owns the number one service company
yes.
in all of Sarasota.
Dave's cleaning service.
So, you know, he's in the service industry. He's not just trying to get started and then, you know, had a mediocre business and then said, well, I'm going to go try to package programs and sell stuff. He's the real deal. He's built a real company with real success that's known in Sarasota and been acknowledged as such. I think you've yep. won awards with your company yeah. and all down there. I've seen you post before. Yeah. So, you know, basically, and that's one thing we want people to gather from this podcast. He didn't get the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
He's a guy that built a real company, real business. And then once that was established, out of that, he was able to begin to focus and try to encourage people to create systems and business and go and bring people to where he's at.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, but that's extremely
sure.
important. And that's the only kind of people we're going to have on this podcast.
Yeah, that's so. Fantastic. Well, I totally agree with you that in our space, in the speaking world, there are people that are like firecrackers. All of a sudden, they light up and you see them everywhere. But after a while, they fizzle right. down into nothing. And it's really frustrating because they're a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And but before I started my maid service, back in the seventh grade, I started my first business. I don't know if I ever told you this.
Yeah,
I started an auction company in the seventh grade. So there was three things in life that I wanted to be when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a pilot,
mm-hmm.
a veterinarian, and an auctioneer. And so I'm all of them except one. I am not a veterinarian. I don't like blood. I love animals, but I'm a pilot and I'm a licensed auctioneer. And so in the seventh grade, the reason I wanted to become an auctioneer, my two uncles were auctioneers and they had a business called First Team Auction. And they'd go all across the country and they were very popular auctioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And so my cousin and I, Keith, wanted to have an auction company in school. And we had just enough business sense to know that we can't call it First Team Auction, so we called it Best Team Auction. And we convinced all of our classmates to bring stuff the next day, and we literally set up a podium, and we auctioned off their things, kept a percentage of the money.
Right.
And so that was my first entrepreneurial endeavor. It lasted one whole day. It was great. People still talk about it. So I've always been that entrepreneur type, and when I moved down to Sarasota about 14 years ago, coming from middle of Georgia, moving down to Sarasota, I saw the level of wealth, and I saw these houses, and I said, what can I do ethically to get in those houses and take some of their money legally?
Right.
And the first thought that popped in my mind was a maid service, a high-end residential cleaning service. So I started researching and looking around at some of the competition and seeing, you know, the level of companies out there. And I knew I could do better. So I started my first company in 2008 and called Got a Maid Cleaning Service. And within a year and a half, we grew a monster. And hired a coach and blah, 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 grew it into, you know, almost $1 million company within a year and a half. And we started winning awards. I think to date we've won 9 consecutive dates or awards per year, saying that we're Sarasota's number one cleaning service. And we did it simply by being different. Just by being different and putting systems into place that help reach a desired outcome that we wanted, that we knew our clients wanted, and we became a very people-centered business. And a lot of companies want to have systems, but they don't focus on people. You can't have systems unless you have people to operate within those systems.
Right.
So we became a people center. I remember the day I walked into my office and said, folks, and we had 35 employees, said, folks, we're not a cleaning company any longer. And mouths dropped open, like, what did we do? Did we sell? Did we go out of business? And I said, no, we're a people development company. And so we started helping our staff develop relationships with our clients. We started giving them allowances and just being totally different, like disrupting the common cleaning service. And it was just a phenomenal ride. We had a great time. The business is still going. I have a manager that manages that. There's some employees I've never met. And so that's the definition of freedom when you're a business owner, is when you can trust the system that you built. And so, because I never figured that God had made would be my one and only pursuit. Right. I knew that was going to be the launching pad into something greater. And so, yeah, that's kind of how the history of God had made started.
And something I just want to highlight for everybody that's listening, and the same thing you've heard on the podcast, you've heard John and I talk about. And one thing that we believe and what we tell our people, I've said at this very conference table, I don't know how many times I looked at people and said, you know, we're not in the insurance business. Yeah. When we're contracting or bringing them on, and they kind of look at you puzzled. And I tell them, no, we're in the people business.
Yeah, wow.
And you know.
You borrowed that from me.
I stole it from him. I stole a few things from you. But and actually, you know, it goes back to a Ziegler principle. Zig said, you know, we don't build businesses, we build people. If you build people, you'll never have to worry about that's building right. a business. The business right. builds itself.
That's right.
And that's been true for us. You know, that's been one of the greatest things that has, I believe, one of the greatest principles that has caused our growth as a company. Of course, you just reiterated that's exactly that.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I think to borrow a Howard Partridge reference there, but living in freedom every day, that's life. And now you're able to do that because you focused on people.
That's right.
You build a business with systems,
yeah,
which enabled you to be able to go and now really pursue your passion. Right. I don't imagine you ever got up in the morning, clicked your heels and said, oh yes, that first year I get to deal with all this aggravation of cleaning houses and people's dirtiness and the nastiness and people calling in, and I got to find somebody else to fill their place to get, you know, all the homes or businesses that's right. on our agenda for today covered. I imagine it was a lot of hell, a lot of aggravation, a lot of difficulty. So that wasn't necessarily your passion probably. Okay.
No.
But you understood, or maybe you didn't. I know when we started insurance business, I didn't understand that it would get me to the point that today on a Monday, I'd be able to sit at the table with you, John and I, and be able to do something that's going to enrich and empower people on so much of a more broad spectrum and a higher level, because I was out there, I'm sure like you was, I had to clean this many houses today to meet, you know, quota. Yeah. So revenue will be such and such. And that's how I was out selling insurance. But so many people don't understand about the simple fact of going out and doing what you have to do.
Right.
To create a world where you're able to do what you're born to do. And so many people we see forfeit their destiny because after a year in insurance business, they cast off restraint, they give up, they lose their vision. It's too hard. It's too aggravating. I'm dealing with this. I'm just going to go back and get a real job, you know,
right.
get a salary job. And they just forfeit. They just hit the cancel button on their entire destiny.
Yes.
And you're a prime example for everybody that's watching this. If you think me and John just preach the same thing all the time, here's a guy that done that and that's living and eating the fruit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy closed a $13,000 training deal. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
$17,000.
I got the number wrong. He closed a $17,000 training deal on the phone before he walked into this meeting today, where he's going to get to go and he's enriched and he's blessed and he's paid to go help and show and teach other people now to do what he does every day. Just left a 6,000. How many people was at the convention?
6,000 people.
So just got done, you know, speaking to 6,000 people up north, and we're catching him on the way back down now. And so, listen, this is a guy, he probably didn't see a day. Maybe he did. I mean, I don't know what your vision was like that first year, but maybe didn't know that just in really this short amount of years, within a decade or so, here you are after putting into work, speaking to thousands, selling product to thousands, and enriching the lives of thousands.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. I never figured that a maid service would be the vehicle that takes me to where I am now and where I feel like I'm living in my calling when I was 13 years old, where I'm helping people shift. I never imagined that a cleaning service would be that vehicle that takes me there. Going back to the cleaning industry, little did I know that when I started in 2008, and if you remember in 2008, what the economy was doing, it was horrible. And so I marketed myself to really high-end people because I knew there would always be this segment of society that, regardless of how bad the economy would be, you know, they would not clean their house, their own house. We would have to do it for them. And so little did I know that in Sarasota County, there was over 300 registered cleaning services when I started my cleaning service. Wow. That's the registered cleaning services, not the little girl that lost her job and went to Home Depot and got a mop bucket and a vacuum and was cleaning homes privately. These are the registered cleaning services. And because we understood being different and thinking outside of the box, being unique and having a passion, which cleaning wasn't my passion, building a business was my passion. And so that's what I talk about when I help and coach business owners. They ask me, well, we want systems. And I say, what is your idea of a system? And they say they don't know. They just know that we need systems. And so I, you know, being from Georgia, I came up with a really basic terminology of what a system is. You guys want to hear it?
Sure.
Absolutely.
It's a lighted pathway to a desired outcome with high walls that keep people from doing stupid things.
It's good.
All right. And now I've changed that because I moved to Sarasota and got a little sophisticated. Now, you know, it's to describe us a system, I basically just say focus on the water hose, not the water. Mm-hmm. So what happens as soon as the water enters into a hose? What is the purpose of a hose, number one? It's to take water from point A to point B to the desired outcome. And what happens if there's a hole in the hose? Water will escape there before the desired outcome. And so we get to help people focus on their water hose instead of the water. My first book, Freedom to Succeed, I talk about the diamond mindset. And the diamond mindset of a business owner is to be in love. Most business owners are in love with their product, with the what they produce, what they do. And I want the people that I work with to fall in love with building a system, to build a water hose, to build a business that does what they do. So the diamond mindset is you're in love with the wrong thing. Let me show you what to be in love with.
That's good.
Yeah.
One thing you said that really struck me is that you decided to be different because everybody's watching their competition. A lot of copycats out there. And, you know, we've said it before on the podcast that if you want to be competitive, then study what your competition does. Yeah. But if you want to dominate, study what they don't do, what they're not willing to do.
Yeah.
And give me a couple of examples of that. What separated or made the cleaning business for you different from others other than just building people?
Great question. So I started going to like the chamber events, networking meetings, and all the other 300 maid services were there as well. And so we'd go around the circle taking turns to introduce themselves. And I noticed this, I won't mention company names, but they had a little jingle and they had a little jingle. This one here was boring and people were yawning like there they are again. So I knew that I had to like stop the Rolodex. And now the young people on the audience probably don't know what a Rolodex is, right. But they had to stop it and make them say, wow, that's new, that's different. And so I simply started sharing my MVP, mission, vision, and purpose, and then tagged on what our marketing message was. And so, you know, they would come around the circle and, you know, 20 or 30 maid cleaning businesses were in the room. They'd come around to me and I'd say, hey, folks, I'm Dave Kaufman with Got a Maid. Our mission is to provide the most amazing cleaning experience ever, or it's free. And our vision is to clean every house on every street in Sarasota. And our purpose is so that you can spend more time with your family and friends. Our job is to protect you from uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous cleaning services. And without a doubt, like I would look around the room and people were like, I want you. And what happened was amazing. I mean, we started having competitors coming up to us and say, we want to be like you. Like, will you coach us in like, I'm not going to coach my competition. Right. You know, that's not, that wouldn't be, but that's what happened. That's actually how I got started into the coaching world, is people kept coming to me and said, Dave, you've been in business 2 years, you have 35 employees. I've been in business for 35 years, have two employees. Wow. Can you come into my business? And do, I said, no, hire a coach. That's what I did. He said, well, will you be my coach? And I think I turned away probably 10 people before I finally said, yeah, I'll coach you. It was a landscaping company, and we just traded services.
And so the coaching that you do actually came, you know, the Bible says your gifts will make room for you. So that's basically what happened. The coaching side of what you do is just birthed from the cleaning side.
So it really
just
was.
Like what Justin said. I mean, you're not somebody that just decided, hey, I'm going to coach people to make money.
That's right.
It was out of necessity.
It was. It really was. And so, like, little did I know that a cleaning company would become a national platform for me to international. We just picked up our first international client. Right. And so I had no idea. Like, I lived and breathed the maid service, okay, for over 8 years. I was in every day. We would like have a staff meeting every morning where we wouldn't even talk about technical things in the cleaning industry. We would read Zig Ziglar. We would read all kinds of books and have conversations about what does it mean to be a person of integrity? How are we going to do that today? And because one of the things I tell my clients all the time, if we can help your employees become 10% better people, not technicians, not better at their job, but better people, will that show up in your workforce? And invariably they say, well, yeah, if you're a better person, you're going to have a better result. And so you mentioned Zig's quote, you don't grow your business, you grow your people, and then your people will grow your business. And that's what we focus on primarily in our coaching, is how do you engage your employees? How do you bring them into the mission, the vision, and the purpose of the company? How do you get them to jump on that bandwagon and say, I will do whatever it takes so that we can all get to the MVP together, the mission, the vision, and purpose?
Well, even in your MVP, because you said you concentrated on people, building people. Same thing Justin and I have done. We've trained a lot of insurance agents over the years, and one thing that's made us unique is we don't, I say it this way, we don't take agents, we make agents. In other words, there's very few of the men and women that work for us that come from other agencies or other types.
Okay.
Most of them come from different fields. You know, they're just looking.
First generation.
Yeah. Like you, their passion may not be insurance, just like your passion may not be the maid service, but they have a passion to do better, to be better, you know. And so, you know, you said even in the MVP, elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it, you know, you concentrate on what I can do for you as a homeowner.
Yes.
Give you more time, more freedom, and different things.
Yeah.
And so in doing that and being people focused, sounds like that's really paid off for you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have a quote that I think would tie in what you just said, John. I have about 150 original quotes, and I'm working on getting them out into the public right now. But and it's not that I don't believe in education, but I love to be around people with passion.
Sure.
I'd rather hire a person with passion than a bunch of credentials.
Right.
And so the quote is, education will never find your passion, but passion will always find your education.
That's good.
Okay. And so, you know, and I believe the word passion has been hijacked, and, you know, because you have people saying, well, you know, this certain product became my passion, and then 6 months later they're onto another different product, and now this is their passion. But passion, I believe, will never leave you.
Right.
It will. Passion, it may change a little bit, but you either are a person of passion, and passion is not an object. Passion is something in you that drives you. And so if you follow your passion, you'll do whatever it takes, just like you guys have done in the insurance industry. You'll do whatever it takes to find the education, to be different, to go out, to launch new product, to launch a podcast, to do what we were talking about earlier about YouTube. That's passion finding your education. And so,
well, and one thing that for the listeners that I want to stick out to them is, so business owners, maybe you're newer in business or you're an aspiring business owner, you've got a dream, a vision for a business you want to start, what you want to look like, or maybe an industry you want to get involved in. You know, just notice what Dave said. He built something that caused people, and his messaging was such. Messaging is extremely important. Okay.
Yeah.
I would dare say, in Sarasota, Florida, hardly anywhere in the country, before Dave got into the cleaning business and started that service, probably very few people were using the word experience and experience,
right,
when it came to marketing their company to clean houses.
Yeah.
But it really communicates. So in your MVP, your messaging was different. It stood out. It communicated. And then he just kept trucking, and people came to him. He wasn't going to people saying, hey, I've got this business, you know, we're doing over $1 million a year within a year and a half here. Let me come in and show you what to, you know. He wasn't out trying to make it. In other words, he let organically what he built become what it is. And then as people came to him, of course, you heard, I mean, first 10 people you turned down. And most time, achievers, people like us that build something, we're kind of wired that way, not just because it was your competition.
Right.
But, you know, at first, we're kind of like, go out and build your own thing, Hoss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I did it. You should do it.
That's right. But out of that, of course, the people approached you, which created a need, and I think probably highlighted where this thing could go in your you know, as far as fitting into your vision for your life and what you wanted to do and accomplish. Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but now your second company was Empowering Small Business, right? And what didn't that kind of get birthed out of the people coming to you?
Yeah.
And then, of course, out of that Empowering Small Business, I think is where you do all your coaching and your writing and helping businesses become productive and increase the revenue.
Yeah.
So talk about that company, Empowering Small Business, for a minute.
Yeah. Before Empowering Small Business, so it was Gotta Made first. And then I looked at the taxi industry locally mm-hmm. there in Sarasota. Right. And I remember I was driving along and I looked over and a taxi pulls up. And I looked at the car. It was like brake dust all over the car. The guy had a beard this long, a camouflage hat. And I said, I wouldn't let my wife ride in that taxi.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the idea, well, why not start a taxi service? So I started a taxi service called Gotta Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also started a high-end limousine service and built them up and sold both of them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both still going in Sarasota.
Wow.
But I sold those. And then out of that, finally started accepting coaching clients. And I said, well, if I'm coaching clients, I have to have a business behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a message behind what I just said too. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And so I started coaching before I even had the business name, the brand, and mm-hmm. everything. Sometimes people think they have to get everything in line before they start. And I think a true entrepreneur sees a need, jumps on it quickly, mm-hmm. and then builds the infrastructure around it. Sometimes it's necessary to do it the opposite way, but most entrepreneurs see the need, jump on it, and then say, oh, okay, we need infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's what I think a true entrepreneur does. So the Empowering Small Business was birthed out of the success of Gotta Made and the taxi and everything. And I just started coaching people and simply like just helping them do what I did in my business. And it's just one thing led to another, to another, to another. Speaking started because of the coaching, because once you have some success in helping other people, you get a phone call and saying, hey, I'm having a dealer day, or I'm having a convention. My business is getting together. Can you come talk to my employees about whatever marketing systems.
Mm.
So that's how the Empowering Small Business. And I wanted to, I struggled big time the first year and a half into the maid service. Cause I mean, honestly, fresh off the farm into the city,
right.
I didn't know the first thing about running a business. I knew marketing and sales. I was always really good at bringing people in and buying into the vision, but I didn't know how to run a business. I struggled. In farming terms, my silage was taller than my silo.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing the top end start coming out. And so I struggled majorly learning how to run a business. And so when I was thinking about how am I going to brand my company, the word empowering, just like I wanted to empower people. It kind of goes back to the calling when I was 13 years old. I want to help people shift. And shifting is empowering. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go faster, sure. you have to empower the car, and you do that by shifting. And so we named it Empowering Small Biz or Business. And just same thing happened. Just before long, I had more clients that I could personally coach myself. And so I put the word out that I'm looking for qualified coaches that want to be certified in my methodologies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anything written down. I was just like, it was all up here. And so that forced me to like build a curriculum, step one, step two. So we put together a 3-day coaching certification course. And then I was thinking, well, how am I going to attract the perfect coach? And this is a testimony of how important it is to know who you're trying to attract, to know your market. Not everybody deserves to be your client. I'm not sure who it was that told me that, but it was the most liberating thing that I could hear is not everybody deserves to be your client. That means you have to really target down and find out who deserves to be your client. And so what we did is we put it out on Indeed.com. And the marketing message was very simple. Do you know where your next coaching gig is coming from? Where is your next coaching client coming from? We had 3 headlines that just hit them right here. Mm-hmm. And we developed a program where, you know, you contact us, you become certified in my methodologies. I don't want yours. I want my methodologies to go out. It's my business. And we will find your coach, your clients for you. Because here's what we figured out pretty quickly. Most coaches are really good at coaching. They're terrible at marketing. Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to be really good at marketing and bringing people in. I used to joke to my staff that I'm a really good coach, but for about that long. Like, mm-hmm. I get bored sitting at one place talking, right. And you know, I see the big picture. Sure. And so we built something, and we had over 100 applicants in 2 days' time that we had to sort through. We only needed 10. So we picked out the top 10, called them, sold them, brought them in for a 3-day training course, certified them in my training. We have ongoing training afterwards. And then I was in trouble because I had my clients that I was coaching. Now I had 10 coaches with no clients. So I had to go out and beat the pavements, and we're still in the process of filling everybody up. We got everybody clients right now, but we could still handle a lot more clients. But so 10 we went from one coach to 10 coaches,
right.
And it's been crazy. Even in a good economy, we're still getting new clients. Just like sitting out in the parking lot, we closed a $17,000 coaching deal. Mm-hmm. So my passion is to help empower people, empower them for what they want to be empowered by, not just of the fact that they can grow a big business, but I mean, because nobody wants to grow a big business just for the sake of having a big business. They want that business to provide sure. something for them. So yeah, that's a little bit about the coaching. We coach on 6 pillars of business. We coach on marketing, sales, procedures, office and tracking, which is really important, sure. And relationships and leadership.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Of course, now you've written 4 books. Is that correct?
Yes.
In total, kind of take us through. Of course, your first book was Freedom to Succeed, right?
Yes.
You've already kind of. I talked about that.
That's the mindset of a business owner, what you're supposed to be in love with, and the 6 systems that I just mentioned, marketing, mm-hmm. sales. So we get the chapters are on those systems, and we talk about, you know, what is a good marketing system look like? What should it produce for you? Sales systems, obviously, that's my sweet spot. I love sales, I love marketing, and I love relationships and leadership. So we just kind of go through the 60 systems that we've developed. That are in our coaching packages, and just expand on those 60 systems.
Gotcha. So, and then your second book, course, you got a book called The Little Book of Becoming a Great Leader, People-Centered Leadership.
Yeah.
Newest book, Seeds, is that right?
Yes. So People-Centered Leadership was my second book. That's actually became Amazon bestseller. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of fun. That was kind of interesting. That book is all about what we mentioned this several times. Zig Ziglar says you don't grow your business, you grow your people. Mm-hmm. So it's the art of growing your business by growing your people. ART stands for appreciation, recognition, and trust. And so what we did is we went into some of the companies we've been fortunate to work with, companies like Berlin Gardens, Detweiler's Farm Market. Have you been to a Detweiler's down in Sarasota?
I haven't.
Next time you're down there, give me a call. I'll take you.
Awesome.
And it is an amazing shopping experience, and I'm truly amazing. They're about a $200 million company. Mm. Friends of ours that go to church with us, and they just blew it up by being people-centered. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of people-centered leadership was birthed. I was coaching a $200 million company somewhere else. And I sensed inside the company that this was simply a transaction. You work for me, you do what I want, I pay you a paycheck, we're done.
Right.
No relationship. In fact, one of the employees said that my dad passed away and not one manager came to them and offered condolences or a day off. And so I saw that this was not a people-centered business. And so I asked the owner, I said, Mr. Owner, what is your most valuable asset in your company? Without a beat, he said, my property. Mm-hmm. I said, no. And I asked him again. He said, my inventory. I said, no. Again, my fleet of trucks. I said, no. The dude goes all the way down to his personal vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I ask him one more time, and he wrinkles his face up, and he says, my people, 200 employees.
Wow.
That's sad. And so we implemented a lot of things that I learned from Ziglar, the notes, I like notes, and they called back and said the whole culture of the company changed. Tears were like flowing down the owner's eyes when he realized what he had built. You know, you can build a lot of business, a great business with muscle. But man, when you have people, you got to activate your most powerful muscle, and that's your heart. And that's what people-centered leadership is all about: appreciation, recognition, and trust. So there's several case studies of very large companies that we've worked with and turned around and built phenomenal, phenomenal companies. And then after that, I wrote the little book to becoming a big leader. There's 15 things that you should never do as a leader, and there's 10 things you should always strive to do as a great people-centered leadership. That's a fun little book. It's a pocket book. You can take it with you. You can read it in 20 minutes, and it's like there's no fluff. It's just boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it's all meat. And then my last book was kind of a fun project. It's called Seeds, and it's kind of a throwback to me growing up on the farm.
Right.
You can't have a harvest unless you first plant a seed. So there's a whole principle of in order to go up, you first have to go down. A tree grows up, produces a seed. It's up here. It has to fall down. It has to go down. And even when the seed germinates, the root goes down before the trunk comes up. So you have to go down. Tom Ziglar, he has a quote I love. I use this all the time when I illustrate this. It says, your fruitfulness is determined by your rootfulness. Mm-hmm. You first have to go down before you can go up. So that's credit to Tom Ziglar. And so what I did is I wrote 31 entrepreneurial lessons that I learned from my time on the farm. And so the first part starts off with a story. And then I turn it into the entrepreneurial lesson, and that's a fun book. It's a really, really easy read. It's my thickest book, but it is a fun, you know, kind of an entertainment style book that punches at the end. And then I think there's coaching points in that book as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, just to touch on the Ziglar thing. You just mentioned the Tom Ziglar quote. Of course, you and I went through Ziglar certification together. Time's flying now, so it's been a number of years ago. But what, in your opinion, what is, as far as the Ziglar influence on your life and going through Ziglar certification? I mean, what do you feel like out of all that, what do you feel like was left with you the most that really branded your life?
Wow. Everything. Mm. I do not believe that I would be where I am today without those relationships. Obviously, Howard Partridge is the coach that I hired to coach me in my cleaning business. He's who introduced me to the Zigglers. Mm-hmm. When I think of me, I think of Ziggler. It's like woven into the very fabric of my business. Probably the one thing that has changed the most for me is probably Ziggler's most famous quote. You know it, all of you, both of you know it. You can have everything in life you want. You can almost hear him say it. Mm-hmm. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want in life. It's our maids see it every time they walk in. It's a big and bold right in front of them. And we built our company on that principle. We empowered our staff in the maid business to give Mrs. Smith, the client, what she wants. We would actually give our staff an allowance of over $100 per month to spend on their clients, mm-hmm. just to empower them. A lot of business, and I can't help but teach because I'm a natural teacher at heart, but I want to talk about empowering your people. There's a difference between motivating and empowering. Mm-hmm. Motivating is said, hey, go out, do whatever it takes to change lives. But empowering them is giving them the tools to actually change lives. And a lot of business owners don't understand that very simple strategy that motivation is not enough. You have to empower them. And I learned that the hard way just because I was preaching, we got to be different. We got to make this happen. But they didn't know how to be different. They were depending on me to create the tools. And when I started giving them the allowance, mm-hmm. the $100 per month to spend on clients, just for little things. So they go into Mrs. Smith's house and they see that there's a picture of dolphins on that wall. There's a glass case with some glass figurines of dolphins. Their bathroom's full of them. Mrs. Smith loves dolphins. Mm-hmm. And so when you're at the store and you see a little figurine of a dolphin, who are you going to think of? Mrs. Smith. So that's where the $100 would go, and they would start doing this. And then here's what happened on the other side. This is how far empowering, and I know we're way off our subject, but I can't help but teach. Here's what happened on the other side of that. I mean, it didn't just stop with our technician handing it to Mrs. Smith. And Mrs. Smith, oh, this is so great. That evening, she would go play bingo with her friends or go out for drinks with their friends. And they would say, you wouldn't believe what my cleaning girl brought me today. And they told them, and the other ladies that they were with, well, they didn't bring me anything like the other companies.
Right.
And that's how we were the number one referred business. We stopped marketing.
Wow.
We stopped marketing because we started empowering our staff, not just motivating them. Mm-hmm. So I know that was a rabbit trail. But, sometimes rabbits need to be killed.
There you go. Kill a rabbit or two. And that's good. So let me ask you this. Would so many people don't know probably that's listening to this what DISC training is at all. The first time I ever came in contact with it was actually years ago when I was working for my dad, our church, his senior pastor and ministry staff. And so almost every year without fail, he would give the entire staff a DISC personality profile. Of course, there was another biblical personality profile alongside of that he would give us. But just the difference that I remember that making, because first off, it helps you understand who you are.
Yeah.
It helps you understand who the people are that you're working with. And it obviously helps with conflict, issues of conflict, because you know how.
Yeah.
If you understand what a person is and what makes them tick and how they're wired, then you're a lot less likely to go off. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
anyway,
it really helped us at that time.
Yeah.
And I've personally taken it multiple times since then. I know John has as well, and we've given it to folks as far as in coaching and counseling people inside of our organization. But if you will, for a person that has no clue, and I want you to get into your mastery level with it, but to a person that's got no clue what that is, what it stands for, how it would help them, maybe a business owner that needs to hear this, and of course, We're going to give you all of David's contact information at the end of this and how to get a hold of him. But talk to us about DISC a little bit.
Sure. It's my favorite subject in the world. I absolutely love talking about personalities. I'd say probably 95% of all my talks are infused with DISC. So DISC is just simply a study of personalities and behavior. So I'm one of 10 in the world master trainers with the DISC model of human behavior. DISC stands for D-I-S-C. There's four types of personalities. There's the dominant, decisive, dogmatic, determined doers. People like Donald Trump would be a good example of a high D. They see the big picture. They process their thoughts by speaking. There's actually people that think before they speak. I'm not one of them. I'm a verbal processor. Right. I say things so that I can understand what I just thought. Donald Trump is a lot that same way. That's the high D. They're very dominant. They're very decisive, dogmatic, determined. They love to do things. They love to slay things, conquer things. They love challenge, choices, and control. Those are the three fuels that they have to have. Mm-hmm. If you stop feeding a horse, what will it eventually do? It'll find food. It'll die. Or it'll find food, and you're exactly right. The three fuels that a high D has to have, if they don't have it, they will find an environment that has it, or they will die, not physically, but emotionally. They will die. They have to have challenges, choices, and control. If you're married to a D, which my wife
is. Don't ask my wife if she's married to a D.
She'll be honest with you on that one.
But we have to have challenges, choices, and control. We love the fight.
Right.
We love to conquer things. And if there's nothing to fight, we will go find an environment that we have to fight. And then you have the I type. These are the very inspiring, the influencing, impressionable, sometimes illogical people. And I hate to say a name right after I say the word illogical, but Dolly Parton would be a really good example of a high I type personality. It's all about the show. It's all about fun. It's all about glitter. This is the life of the party. When they walk in, energy goes to them. They're very influencing, very inspiring. They like to inspire you to think like they do.
Right.
They make statements like, who am I going to see? It's all about people. It's all about who am I going to see? Who's going to see me? You know, they might say, hey, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Mm. Okay. So it's about people, fun, and excitement. They're the most exciting people around. I'm a D, and then my second is a high I. I love having fun, but I want to get stuff done first so I can have fun. And so we don't have enough time to go into all of the blends of what makes you you. We're only talking about the four types. Then you have the S type. Oh, man, I love the S type people. These are the supportive, steady, stable, sweet, shy people like Mother Teresa. They will hurt themselves before they hurt other people. And the ironic thing, D's usually 90% of the time marry S's. Dominant, supportive. Okay. If I could change my personality, which it's impossible, you cannot change your personality. You can change your behaviors, but not your personality. It's who God created. You can't rewire yourself. But if I could change who I was, I would become much a higher S than a D because they're the nicest people in the world. Right. They're very loyal, steady, stable, sweet, shy. Suckers, they can be suckers. They don't like to say the word no. So there's all kinds of benefits to that. There's also some negative connotations to not saying no. And then you have the C type. Now, I used to think, before I understood all of this information, that there was a certain class of people that was designed by God to pour water on my parade. In fact, I have a brother, I hope you're listening, brother, that was that person for me. I remember as a little kid seeing my mom flip pancakes one at a time, you know, with a spatula. Just a little kid, and I'm a high D, let's put this in high gear, let's make it exciting. I proclaimed to the world, my family, that I'm going to create an automatic pancake flipper. And my brother, Gary, goes, that's a dumb idea. You know, pouring water on my... And all through school, you know, I was this hyper-energetic kid that anything was possible. But teachers, they're usually going to be your S's and your C's.
Sure.
No, Dave, it can't, you know, 2 + 2 can't be 7. It has to be, what did I say, 2 + 2? 4. It has to be 4. And so that always felt like it was dampening my enthusiasm. And those are the C-type people. These are very cautious, calculating, competent, critical thinking. They think critically about things. Competent, conscientious. These are your doctors, your lawyers, your engineers, your architects, your dentist, my wife. I married one that pours water on my parade. And here's the cool thing about, I don't say that disparagingly about my wife. I say that because God knows that I need that in my life because that's my lowest one. We are all a unique blend of those four. And so you've heard opposites attract. If you're not careful, opposites will then start attacking. Because, see, my wife is a high C. She wants everything organized. She's a conveyor belt type person. She puts it on Monday, and on Friday it comes off exactly the same way. Everything's planned. I'm not a conveyor belt. No. I'm a fertilizer spreader. Wherever I land, that's cool. I'll make the best of it. Opportunistic. And so we had to learn how to blend our two personalities, our temperaments together to make that work. And so her organization started messing with my spontaneity. Mm. Before that, I was really attracted to her organization and her put together. She knows the price of gas. Like, I have no idea what I paid for gas.
I can never tell you what I paid for gas.
Yeah.
I don't even look at it.
And we're driving along. She says, oh, we should have bought gas here instead of two exits back because it's 2 cents cheaper. And I'm like, we didn't need it here. We needed it back there. And so, but she wants to know, like, what hotel are we sleeping at? Did I make the arrangements? These are your organized people, and they're the glue that kind of holds everything together. They're the reason buildings don't fall over in an earthquake or a hurricane. Thank God for the class of people that I used to think were designed by God to pour water on my parade. And 90% of the time, you marry your obstinateness. And so I actually am a certified marriage consultant with DISC as well. And I thought it was so interesting. I speak DISC on a business level, like how do you manage people based on their personalities? People come up to me at a business event and say, this would work so well in my business, in my marriage.
Absolutely.
And so then I started doing marriage conferences and seminars, and they come up to me and say, this could work in my business. I'm like, yeah, for sure. Anywhere there's two people, DISC will work because it's people. And so that's probably about 95% of all my work is with DISC and helping, you know, making sure that the people that are in this position are the right temperament for that position.
David, if anybody wanted to contact you, their business, their marriage, whatever, how would they do that for the DISC training or any of the other training you do?
There's a place on our website, empoweringsmallbiz.com. That's with a Z, okay. empoweringsmallbiz.com. You can schedule a strategy call with me personally, but you can also call our office, and our office is in Sarasota. That number is 813-580-8920. And just say you'd want to schedule a free strategy call with Dave, and the girls at the office will line that up.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
So, powerful resource there in that. Before we get ready to wind things down here, one thing I want you to talk about just real quick and let the people know you got coming up. Is it next week or the week after? It's
the week after.
February 27th through 29th. This is your second year doing this,
yes.
I believe, right?
Yes.
So, Dave puts on a convention conference called EdgeCon. He's the founder and host of it. A phenomenal first class list of speakers, guests. Get Victor Antonio coming in, Del Toro McNeil, Myron Golden, Todd Saylor, who's going to be on the podcast with us here in the coming weeks.
Oh,
you guys
fantastic.
Will be hearing from him. And so just talk to us a little bit about your conference and what it's designed to do and accomplish. And if it's not already sold out, especially if they're in the area, anywhere within driving distance, how they can get tickets to attend that.
Yeah. EdgeCon2020.com is the place to go to see the whole list of speakers. And I can't believe the list of speakers that we have lined up. We have about 14 speakers. World-class event. I'm pulling out all the stops. It's at the brand new Westin in downtown Sarasota. And so here's the rationale behind me doing conferences. I have been given so much. I've had the extraordinary opportunity to be mentored by some of the greatest people in this space, in the business world, personal development. These are the people that will be on the stage. Like Myron Golden has spoken on stages such as Russell Brunson, what do you call it, ClickFunnels, Grant Cardone's stage. Victor Antonio, one of the best sales trainers in the world, is going to be there, and a whole list of other people. And so this is an effort for me to empower others, bring people that have empowered me, put them on a stage where they can be empowering to others. It's leap year, so the theme of EdgeCon 2020 is leap into your success. If you want success, folks, it's there. Sure. It's at the deep end of the pool. That's why there's not a lot of people there. But if you want it, it is there. And we're going to take you, we're going to teach you how to leap. I'm going to be doing about 5 leap sessions. You got to come to EdgeCon to learn more about those sessions. But it's high energy leap sessions to learn how to get into the deep end of the pool with success and really, really go get your success is what that whole conference is about. Go get your success.
Absolutely.
So if you want it, it's there.
Well, that's great. So you got that coming up. I'm assuming you'll probably continue to do those right on. You had a great event last year. It's building great momentum.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And here's what I'll do for your audience. Okay. If they want to come, it's February 27th, 28th, and 29th. If they want to come, we're running a special right now. I'm going to make that available to you guys as well. It's a buy one, get one free. So go to EdgeCon2020.com. Check out, and before you check out, use this code EDGE19, all caps, EDGE19. Originally, it was for the alumni for last year. I've decided to open it up for everybody to come in there.
Awesome, we appreciate that. And for those of you listening, I mean, that's a phenomenal value. If you're not, if for some reason you're not familiar with some of these speakers, go to the EdgeCon website, check them out, do a little research. And that's simply amazing to be able to get one whole seat free for an event like that with that type of roster that you've got coming in to speak to the folks. So, man, that's phenomenal. Well, you know, we want to encourage you, if you're listening to the podcast, be sure to like, subscribe, you know, refer it to your friends. This episode in particular, I think, is going to be extremely empowering to a lot of people that are new in business, maybe struggling in business. You know, I know people in business don't even know what a system is. You know what I'm saying? They're just out there just trying, got a lot of effort. But if they pulled all that into order and had some systems used with it, it would really change their whole world and their whole picture. So, anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in today. I'm going to let Dave have the last word here. Dave, if there's one thing that you to kind of, you know, sum up and put a cap on all this, if just speak to a moment as we close out to anybody that's listening that may be in business, may be struggling, don't know where to go. This is a new concept. A business coach is a new concept. You know, a lot of the things you've talked about, just if there was one kind of put a bow on the whole episode today that would encourage them to really take the steps that they need to take to begin to develop some of this, what would that be in your opinion?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I can tell you without any hesitation that the number one thing that put me to where I am at today with the little success that I have, some people call it great success, I feel like I'm just getting started, is two things. Attend events and get a coach. Michael Jordan, arguably the best basketball player ever, at the peak of his game, when he was at the best, when he was in a position to train other people, had not only one coach, not two coaches, but 8 coaches. That's what it takes. Who do you talk to? Who do you listen to? And where do you go? I can tell you that attending events, developing myself, developing personal development, and going to events and rubbing shoulders around people like yourselves, and some of you need to get new friends. Some of you need to have a new set of people that you hang around with. And I can tell you, a matter of fact, that is why I am where I am today. And I want that for you as well. I'm going to end with a quote that is original with me. I for some reason, when I'm flying to an event, I look out the window and I just get inspired. And so most of my quotes are inspired 30,000 feet in the air. Here's the quote. Suppose all it takes for you, I need to think of my quote first. Suppose all it takes for you to be, I should have remembered this before I started it. Suppose all it takes for you to be extraordinary is to believe that you were extraordinarily created for that very purpose. We'll say that again with clarity. Suppose all it takes for you to become something extraordinary is for you to believe that you were created extraordinarily for that very purpose. And I want you to go after your purpose. I want you to go after what you were created for. I did at age 13. I said, I need to help people shift. And I feel like I'm in my calling. And that's the most empowering place to be, is inside your calling. So go get it. Success is there for you. It's at the deep end of the pool. Nobody's there. It's waiting for you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dave. Everybody go check out Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next time here on Separation Nation.